are so excited to welcome you back to Gather to Scatter. We are Brittany, Brian, and Rachel, three friends who love to talk about Jesus. Today, we will continue our Faith and Work series and talk about working as a Christian in the world. We must gather well to scatter well. We'll laugh, we'll cry, we'll definitely be weird. But our hope is that we will encourage you to scatter well alongside us with a solid foundation on Scripture.
Yeah!
Woo!
I love your hi!
Thanks.
Every time. Oh. It just makes me smile.
Oh, that's good. I hope it makes everyone smile.
I feel like there's even more of a pep in her step.
I wonder what it is.
It's even more high-pitched and happy.
Joy. Oh, just no. Irradiating.
Irradiating.
Making up words, having fun.
That's what we do.
Oh, man.
That's amazing. Oh, my gosh.
Well, I'm excited to be here.
I know.
But before we get into some things, Rich.
Tedder, tedder.
Tedder, all right. This is going to be a good one, guys. Okay. So, as you all know, we've talked about, okay, so we are three women who are single in our 30s, and we've talked about dating before.
True.
My tete-a-tete is, what do we think an appropriate timeline is? What is a timeline in a dating relationship between married, or between married, between hopefully married Christians at some point? Did that even make
wait,
sense?
Wait, what? Okay, why are they married already?
No, rephrase they're not. That. They're looking to be married in the future. I'm so sorry.
Hopefully the timeline is non-existent.
Yes, hopefully the timeline is very fast.
Two Christians start dating. They have the desire for marriage. What is the timeline between dating, engagement, and marriage?
Yeah.
There we go.
Do we think there is too short, too long? What are our thoughts?
I think there are so many more layers than that.
We're not looking for deep here. We're looking for fun tete-a-tete.
Fun tete-a-tete. Okay. I guess if you... I think that if you know the person, it can be a shorter amount of time. If you just met the person, it's likely a longer time. But then you hear stories like Candace Owens, mm-hmm. who met her husband and they were married like 90 days later. And they
really?
Were rocking on. I think it was 90 days.
I think that's a great timeline.
Oh my. Of course.
I don't even think it was 90 days, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Well...
You shall find
they
out.
They locked eyes while she was up on stage.
Oh.
Which was crazy. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
Yeah, she talked about it.
Y'all, we need to find a stage.
I love her story. I love their story. We need to find a stage.
Find a stage.
Oh, no.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I definitely think it's going to vary, right? All different things, like even age, too, I think will play into that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I think age does come into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think any two stories are going to be the same. Well, they will. If we're really talking stats here, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I don't
know. Everyone's experience is unique.
Yeah.
That's not right. That can't be right.
What does it say?
Candace Owens. Oh, I can't get on that.
No, it might actually be right. It's
18
crazy.
Days.
18. Yes, it is 18. That is 18.
18 days?
Yes, it is 18.
Where did I get 90?
I don't know. Maybe you.
Fiance?
Maybe.
What's that?
It's a stupid show.
It's a trash TV show.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not familiar.
That was going to be one of my other questions if I didn't do this tete-a-tete. But yeah, 18 days.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Wow.
Yeah.
But I mean, she was 29. So I guess older in the world's eyes.
Yeah, 18 days is nutty.
Wow.
That's fast.
It's nutty, but look at them. They are thriving.
They love the Lord.
She's pregnant with her fourth.
Let's go.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was
Can you believe that? Yeah, number
love
four.
Love that.
Congrats, Candace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
She's converted to Catholicism.
Yeah. So 18 days.
That's changed. Well, that's changed.
Yeah, that's it.
It's something.
I definitely think that if two people are pursuing the Lord, then it is going to be a faster timeline than what the world thinks. It should be.
Absolutely.
It's just so wild to me. Like, I have these guys and I love them dearly, and they are like engaged for 2 years and they are dating for 5 years. And I'm just like, I don't understand.
Christians are.
No, these are not Christians.
Okay. Well, because they're already doing everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not waiting for
anything. There's not
anything.
A need. Yeah.
You know, I think Christians speed that up a little bit, if we're being honest. But
my parents were married after 6 months.
Yeah, and they're still beautifully
married. They met,
and
6 months later they were married?
Correct.
Wow.
They got engaged after 3 months.
Go Loves.
So they met in October. Mm-hmm. He proposed New Year's Day. They were married early April.
Boom.
Yeah.
Wow.
39 years later. Hmm. Almost 40. Wow.
Love that for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great.
So 18 days, Jill.
Okay, chill.
She's past that.
I know.
So it's possible.
Wow.
Yeah, it's here. Time's ticking, Jordan.
Yeah. Jeez, yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah. Mm. Wow. Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
We will see what the Lord does.
I love that.
You didn't answer, though, Rach. You just said it could be fast.
I said 3 months is what I think. That's because what my parents did. Hmm. I think 3 months is fine if you love the Lord and you know what you're doing.
Whoa. Okay. Okay.
Honest opinion.
So, yeah.
So if you start, you hang out, you meet, rekindle things in December, engaged by March, be like, that's a great timeline.
Yowza. Noted.
Do we want him to listen to this episode, or
like someone else to note that? We don't need Jordan to note it. Needs to be noted elsewhere.
He does listen. So we'll see. So
shout out
working as a Christian in the world.
Moving right along.
I was given the green light and I took it.
You were. That's a good question. That's a good question.
I know.
Wow. Okay, so we actually talked before we started recording, and Mo was asking, how is this different than the workplace relationships? And so there will probably be crossover, but I think that this is a different conversation mm-hmm. because it allows us to explore, like, how we operate in the day-to-day, and, of course, that includes workplace relationships. But when I was thinking about this topic, I was thinking, like, okay, what should my mindset be? What should my heart posture be? Mm-hmm. And those two things will affect my workplace relationships. Mm-hmm. But
it's how do we work yes. in the world? And that will affect
more of a
how-to.
How
yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like a guide?
Kind of. Yeah.
Yeah.
There were a lot of articles that I found. Yes.
Yes.
In our opinions.
Yes.
Yeah, I got scared. I was like, this is exactly how you do this.
Our guide.
This is right. Do it this
our wise no. counsel.
Yeah, yeah.
Not what we're saying. Yeah. But I did find some helpful things and would love to just have conversation. Mm-hmm. So one
love that.
Resource that I would recommend is 9 Marks. Mm-hmm. And they have a... Oh, yeah, that confused me. So 9 Marks has an article called What Makes Work, quote, Christian, unquote. Mm. And it's by J.D. Greer.
Oh, I love that.
Yes. And so we will link it in the show notes. It's a great read. He gives a lot of good information. But what I liked the most was his commentary on what God was concerned. Not was concerned about. That makes it sound like he's worried. I'm just going to read what he said.
Concerned, meaning this is what his focus is in this area.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
He says, the God of the Bible seems as concerned with displaying his power outside the walls of the church as he does within it. So the name of our podcast is Gather to Scatter. That originated from hearing it regularly at our church mm-hmm. saying, okay, we're gathering and we must scatter. Like, all three of us work outside of the church. We will also talk about professional Christians in a future episode, maybe the next one.
I think it's the next one.
Fantastic. And so for those of us who are scattering to work in the world, J.D. Greer says these 5 qualities make work, quote, Christian. Mm. And by Christian, he means done through faith in Jesus. And he goes through all 5 of these, and it was very wonderful to read. So I would recommend you read it. So the 5 are creation fulfilling, excellence pursuing, holiness reflecting, redemption displaying, and mission advancing. And like creation, we go back to the garden. For excellence pursuing, we should be pursuing excellence in the things that we are doing. Holiness reflecting, like what does my work say about my integrity?
Yep.
Redemption displaying. Christ has redeemed us, mm-hmm. and that produces a natural response of grace toward other people. And so I should be displaying my redeemed state and how I'm treating others. So that is kind of about workplace relationships. Mm-hmm. And mission advancing. Our number one goal as believers is the Great Commission. We have different jobs and we have different things that we do throughout our days and our weeks and our months and our years. Job one, share the gospel.
Yeah.
So I really like those five and would just recommend you read that article. Finally, he says, if our work is done unto God, it should be done according to the highest standard of excellence. Mm-hmm. Paul says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's Colossians 3:17. So that should be true whether we receive any reward from our work or not, or whether anyone notices.
Amen.
If we can do those five things, focus on those five things, I should say, my job would probably look radically different.
Yeah.
If I like truly pursued all five of those every day.
Yeah.
Easier said than done, obviously, because we are sinful people. But I just thought that was very interesting.
That is. And helpful. Yeah. I really love, I'm just looking at this article, Joe, and I really, really love this quote that he has under the creation fulfilling section. Mm-hmm. And it's a quote from Chariots of Fire, Eric Little. And he says, I believe God made me for a purpose, but he also made me fast. Mm-hmm. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. Mm-hmm. I love that quote because that is like, I think that in the Christian world, we can get, oh, I am just a, I'm not working in the church, or I'm not doing missions work, or I'm not doing XYZ that is, quote, a professional Christian, so I'm not making a difference where I am. God's not using me as much as he could if I were doing XYZ. And I think that in God's economy, like, he made all of us to be different. So yes, he made people who he gifted in a way where they are going to be pastors and preachers and missionaries and people who are tangibly seeing the world changed for the kingdom. And then he also made people who make the world go round. And we need to be able to be in those spaces and do what he created us to do in a glorifying way. And we can feel his pleasure in that. Like, I know that when I am in my workplace, there is nothing that I enjoy more than doing a job well and being able to talk about the Lord after that because of that. And that's, I was telling the girls earlier, like, I closed a deal. It was a really good deal. And I was able to talk about the Lord because of that deal.
Yeah.
And it's just so nice because it opens up opportunities that we don't think about with people who we actually get to be with on a daily basis. And it's not like they're just getting preached at from a pulpit, which is good. We need to hear the word of God, but we also need to have those around us.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
That can also be true if we just look at, like, yes, I guess in that example, it's kind of professional Christians versus secular world working Christians. That can probably be a shorter title, but you know what I mean? And, but you could also just do that within your own workplace.
Yeah.
Because how often are we saying, well, I'm just a fill in the blank, like whatever your title is, because you're not the boss or the boss boss or the boss boss boss. Like, okay, well, you are where you are for a reason. If you trust the Lord, and lean not on your own understanding and all your ways acknowledge him. Like, I am here for a reason. One day I aspire to be the boss boss boss. Mm-hmm. Right now, this is where I am. So how can I do this well? Because if I am that boss 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 one day, then I can talk to the me at that point and say, hey, this is how I got where I, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's all about, I think it's all about perspective and mindset. And I could certainly do a better job of this in the day to day. And I'm sure a lot of us, if not all of us, could, mm-hmm. if we're honest.
Earlier, Joe, you did say too, like, imagine how radically different if you exemplified like all five of those things in your day to day.
Yeah.
But imagine how radically different it would be if you didn't have the Lord to lean on right now, because you do exemplify those things.
Yeah. Oh.
And maybe they're not all five every single day all at once.
Sure.
But in some way, in some capacity, you are exemplifying at least one of these, I truly believe, in your everyday. And imagine if you weren't, like, that would be radically different. I feel like if you were to exemplify all five of these every day on a daily basis, it would be different. But I don't think your radical would go that way. I think your radical would go to the opposite end of the spectrum. Because you do have, I mean, you do glorify the Lord and, you know,
your job is kind of interesting because it's kind of both. Like, your job is kind of both.
Yeah.
Because it's a weird job.
Well, yeah, you can't outright talk about God to these children, and you probably would get fired if you did. But
unless they ask me.
Right, right. Which even that's really cool.
Yeah.
But you still, like, even just your presence would be different about you if you didn't have the Holy Spirit in you. And you would be, you know, you probably would be more conformed to the world and, like, would be giving them more of an acceptance of the things that they come on into your office looking for that I know you're not giving them now.
Well, and that's been cool as a school counselor who is a believer first. It's been cool to have conversations and build rapport with students so they know that I love them and I'm for them and that I'm going to be honest with them.
Yeah,
because sometimes I say, like, I'm going to say something, it might hurt your feelings, okay? And they're like, oh, okay.
They need that.
They do.
Yeah, they do.
They do.
Bully them a little.
Oh, my mom, have I told y'all this? She calls them lemon squeezes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I explain, that's what mom says. I love you, mom. And I'm like, okay, it might hurt you a little bit. It's a lemon squeeze. And they're like, oh, okay. But then they know I'm going to be honest with them. And so when I do disagree with them, because sometimes they just come in there and they're just spouting off and they don't ask me anything. And that's fine.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're like, well, what do you think? And I'm like, ha-ha.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you for asking.
Thank you so much. And so those are cool moments because I can, and I am very logical. So I can say, like, I see how you got there and it makes logical sense how you got there. Here's a truth that I believe that I think that you are missing. And it's not like they walk out like a changed person. That would be really cool. God, please do that for me. That'd be amazing. Not me, them, but here we are. And it is cool though for them to just kind of have a moment of like, oh, like you don't agree with me at all. And yet you love me and you're smiling and you're accepting.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's an interesting job that I have.
That's cool.
But I do enjoy it. But thank you for saying that. That was very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True things.
Yeah.
Today just being honest,
yeah.
I appreciate that. Today was a hard day, and someone essentially told me I'm a bad school counselor, so that means a lot to me that you would say that. But.
Well, people can have their opinions.
Yeah, we could talk about, like, that honestly. We could talk about how do we deal with rejection and things like that at work, because, like, we should react to it in a different manner because we are believers.
Yeah. And it's hard because we, like you said, everyone has a right to their own opinion. I believe that 100%. I think that we, in general, are just too quick to assume the worst instead of assuming the best in people. And so I aim to assume the best. And even when I'm proven wrong, and it is in fact the worst, then I just try to ask my question, how would the Lord respond to this?
Mm-hmm.
And I used to be, one of my friends pointed this out to me right after college. And she said, we, the general person, but specifically women, apologize too much. We say I'm sorry where we could say excuse me. And so that really stuck with me in, like, my accidental bump, instead of saying sorry, I'm like, oh, excuse me, because I didn't do anything wrong, it was an accident.
Yeah.
And so that has kind of translated into my work world, where I don't want to say, like, I'm sorry you feel that way, because that's a non-apology.
Yeah.
And so what I try to do is say, wow, thank you for reaching out. I'm understanding why you're feeling this way. Would love to have a conversation about it. And if I miss the mark anywhere, then I do apologize.
Yeah.
Because I might have missed the mark. So I think it's like strength and, like, confidence. Like, oh, wow, I do think that what I did was right. I'm more than willing to have a conversation, and I'm going to own up to it if I'm proven wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all those things can be sandwiched together and be given in a way where it is helpful and honest, but you're not just, like, cowering in, uh-oh,
yeah,
what did I do wrong, how did I mess this up? Because that, for me, perfectionist, hi, help me, like, that can put me in a spot of fear, because I tend to lean toward fearing failure instead of accepting failure as a learning experience. So I think in general, we probably all have different approaches to that based on our baseline of work and what that means for us and kind of what it does to us.
Mm-hmm.
But that's generally what I try to do. And that's what I did today, which was hard, but good.
Good.
Yeah. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
So another article. Ligonier Ministries.
Yes. Yes.
Did I say it right?
Yeah.
Bon. I'm just laughing.
I love Ligonier.
We talked about Ligonier before.
We did.
And I was like, what is Ligonier?
I go to Ligonier all the time. Yep. I love it.
So this article is, how can I be a Christian in my workplace? And specifically what I loved in this was, what does it mean to work as a Christian? And so there are also five things here.
We're Baptist, if you couldn't tell. There's always bullet points. I'm going to give you three things.
Oh, you're right. That's funny.
Is that a thing? Okay.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. In like that type of preaching style, it's always point A.
Wait, that's so true.
But that always falls on Baptist.
It's generally Baptist, yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. I wonder why.
Just a style.
Wow.
They all learn the same. They're like, I like these bullets. I'm going Baptist.
That's
the one for me.
To be fair, I haven't had a lot of experience in other denominational churches. That is just what I've seen.
That is funny.
Yeah, but that's funny. Let's stick to that for now.
I love it. Oh, man.
That's good.
If anybody else out there is another denomination and you also use bullet points,
go Baptist.
Just kidding. Go Baptist.
I'm not sorry.
You might be in the wrong place.
Oh, no, you're not. We love you, brothers and sisters in Christ.
Wow. So,
but everyone has a right to their opinion, and you can also be wrong.
True. All true. Wow. I feel unhinged. Okay. So, what does it mean to work as a Christian?
Give us the bullets.
Point one.
Working as worship.
Love this point.
Yes. Second, work as neighborly love, then work as calling, work as pre-evangelism, and work as a means of sanctification. So this article is probably like a 5-minute read. I wrote it.
Who wrote it?
By Jordan Borden.
He knew. That would be really cool though. Alex Chidiak. I'm sorry. Okay. It's probably not how you say that. Okay. And yeah, it was just helpful having specific things. Full-time ministry is unique and important calling. But then it also talks about, like, I mean, just this, I want to camp out on this first one. Work as worship.
Yes.
As a believer, our response to what Christ did for us, our response to the gospel is worship. Mm-hmm. Worship is not just music. Worship is a response. And so, as I work unto the Lord, I am worshiping him. I sing to the Lord, I am worshiping him. But as I do the day to day, I have the responsibility to steward what the Lord has given me well and give him all the glory. And Rach, like you were saying earlier, you were able to talk about God because you stewarded what you had well. You got a deal and that gave you a platform to be able to talk about God. And that was a way for you to worship him based on the gifts that you were given. Mm-hmm. We are three women who have three different jobs and we have talents within those jobs, but we also have talents outside of those jobs. And so how are we using what the Lord has given us to worship him? I think that's an important question for us to ask.
I love that definition of worship as a response. I don't think I've heard that before and I really like it.
Yeah.
Because it is something that we should be doing in everything we do. I like this, desiring God has what is worship. True worship is a valuing or a treasuring of God above all things. So we can do that in our workplace, like what you were talking about, when we are, okay, the Lord gave me these gifts and I'm going to return them to him in this way.
Yeah.
I love that. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Because it's a thankfulness. He recognizing where he's blessed you and giving him back the first fruits of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool.
Yeah. So for work as neighborly love, Martin Luther said, God does not need our good works, but our neighbor does. I'm thinking through what I'm saying because I think it's true, I think one of the things that I hear the most often when people have questions about faith is revolved around works-based faith. And so I enjoy having those conversations because I enjoy expressing the incredible love that the Father has for us and saying like, no, we have nothing to bring to the table. We are saved.
And because we are saved, we respond. And part of our response is work. And so when we look at God doesn't need the good works, but our neighbor does, God chooses to use us to work for our neighbor and with our neighbor and love our neighbor. Neighborly love, brotherly love is something that we see in scripture for a reason. And this I loved a lot. Christianity is good for society. It makes us better husbands, wives, fathers, mothers, citizens, and employees. Christianity makes us useful to Christians and non-Christians alike. Not all good work pays well. Not all good work lends itself to frequent praise, but all good work is useful.
Yeah.
That's just beautiful.
That's great.
Mm. All good work is useful. Use what the Lord has given you to glorify him. Mm-hmm. And read the rest of the article because it's just good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the second. The second is as the first.
Yeah.
Love God. Love others.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like that's from the Bible.
It's almost like it's gospel.
And then a third article that I found that I really enjoyed. It's called How to Lead a Christian Life in a Secular Workplace. It's on everydayfaithco.com. And these are just three hilarious. Now I'm just thinking of bullet points. Three very straightforward recommendations. Be transparent, lead in love, and don't compromise. Yes, be transparent. Let people know who you are. It's not a secret that you're a Christian. Mm-hmm. It doesn't need to be the only thing you talk about, but be transparent. Mm-hmm. One, it could give you the opportunity to talk about the Lord. Two, it should hold you accountable in your work. Don't compromise. It could be so easy to compromise our, what word do I want? Like integrity, but values. It could be very easy to compromise our values at work when we see that there's a cut around. When we see that there's a different option that other people have succeeded in. If you're in sales, you could choose to be slimy because other people are being slimy. Or you could choose to be honest, maybe not get the deal, but earn that relational equity with that person or company to then potentially get a better deal down the line because they know that they can trust you. Mm. So don't compromise who you are as a man or a woman in Christ because, one, you were given this job to steward well. That's your responsibility. You will answer for that one day. And two, like, your work ethic matters. And I think we should ask ourselves the question, what are we working for?
Yeah.
And then leading in love, the most influential bosses and just leaders that I have had are people who are servant leaders, people who are working alongside and doing things that, like, they almost have to get caught doing it because they're not trying to be loud, but they are serving the people that work for them in order to lead well. And so if we could lead in love, we could then again have the opportunity to talk about the Lord working in our secular workplace. Like, why do you do these things?
Yeah. I like in this article under the don't compromise one, mm-hmm. I like how it also extends that to when we head home. It says not yeah. compromising means we give our all and our best when we're at the office. And when we head home, we leave work at work instead of allowing it to overcome our personal lives. Because that is something that I can fall into the trap of because in our day and age, it's so easy. Like, I have my work email on my phone and I check it all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's so easy to just stay on and it affects the rest of your life. And it's like, yeah. yes, the Lord has created us to work. And we talked about it on the last episode. He's also created us to rest.
Yeah.
So we must be in that rhythm of doing both or we are out of balance and we will not be able to work as well.
Yeah. Well, and I think I actually talked to my roommate about this last night. She also has a school counseling degree. And so that's just helpful because she gets it. It's hard for me to do this, like not bring work home. Not that I bring it home. I don't have time at work to work through what I've experienced that day. I have to compartmentalize everything so that I can do my job well. And so in the car ride home, and then depending on the day, I might need to go for a walk to be able to mentally work through the things that happened that day so that I can quote, leave it at work, even though I technically brought it home. Because in any given day, like one day in particular that I'm thinking of, I came in, found out that a student's entire schedule was wrong. So that was just annoying. And then I found, like, got an email from an old student telling me how well she was doing. And she was so thankful. And we had talked a lot. And she had struggled with suicidal ideation. And then she was just like, you're right, life didn't end at 15. And so, like, I was so high. Mm-hmm. And then a student came in panicking because they got their girlfriend pregnant. And then, like, I had another student who came in. And, like, there are just so many highs and lows that happen in a day. And it's one right after the other. And so I don't have time. I can't work through it at work. Mm-hmm. Because if I did, some days I would be crying at work, and that's not helpful for anyone. Though the school counselor's in there crying.
Yeah.
Maybe she needs a school counselor. And, like, we need to feel our feelings. And so don't feel like I'm saying don't do that. But we also have to figure out what works for us. And sometimes what you just need to do is have a conversation. Mm-hmm. And my sister, I love her, she one day was like, Jordan, you have to talk to us about what's going on at work. And I was like, well, I chose this job. I think I've said this to y'all too. Yeah. I'm like, I chose this job. So I chose to take on other people's burdens. That's not your job. Mm. And she was just like,
as a matter of fact, it is.
I know. She was like, we're your people.
Like, it says, your stuff bear is our one stuff. Another's burdens.
I know. Biblical. Yikes.
It's like it's in the Thank Bible.
Yeah. But that's something that I really struggle through, figuring out, okay, how am I going to do this and do this well? Because my job is extremely mentally and emotionally taxing, and I wouldn't do anything else. This is what the Lord has called me to, but it's hard.
Yeah.
I think that shows that you do your job well too, though.
Thank you.
Because if you didn't care, you wouldn't be bringing it home with you.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't be letting it affect you.
Yeah.
Mentally, mm-hmm. and emotionally.
Yeah. I just want to be callous. I'm like,
I don't think you're at risk of being that in any soon. In any soon. The words of the heart today.
Anytime soon.
The any words chance. Of the heart?
The words are the heart. They are. All of the words are hard.
Doing great.
Struggle.
It's real.
English, grammar.
All of
life.
It. La-ti-da.
La-ti-da. Mariah, what about you?
What about me?
Working. You work in the world. You're a Christian.
I do work in the world. Mm. I am a Christian.
Mm. Yeah. You work
Seems
with...
so true.
Is there one believer? You work with one believer, right?
I work with one believer, and I work with a newly, what's the word when you go back? He grew up Jehovah's Witness, and then he left, yeah. But he's been
rediscovered his faith.
He went back to Jehovah's Witness?
Yeah, whatever.
Re-indoctrinated? I don't know. I'm just trying to think of words.
Yeah, I don't know the word. Because when he left, like when he, mm-hmm. when he left, he was like banned. So yeah. there is like a word. Yeah. Like there is something for it. Like he didn't.
He was excommunicated.
That, yeah.
And then he came back. Re-adopted?
Yeah, I don't know.
But you're not, like, with them in person all the time. That looks different from what Joe and I have.
I'm not with them in person. I talk to all four of them every day. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's conversations. Most of the time it's work, but sometimes there are times for conversations. Yeah. Like yesterday, there was a meeting with all five of us, but three of the guys could not join the call, and so it was just me and my believer coworker, and her and I got to talking, and it was like, you know, the whole conversation was like life, but mm-hmm. it was, we got to talk about Jesus, and mm-hmm. you know, and that's something that thankfully I do have the space to do, even with the other three. Yeah. So I am thankful for that, and I feel very blessed that I can share my faith and talk about Jesus whenever mm-hmm. I want to in my day to day and not have any repercussions for it.
Yeah,
but just more so even just be asked questions. Like mm-hmm. one of them asked where the name of the podcast name came from. And, you know, my president of my company found it through another coworker showing That's it to cool. her. And it's just like, yeah, so.
That's awesome.
I do feel very blessed
Have you ever had something, have you ever had a situation at work where you couldn't do something because of your faith? Like, you're newer in your faith. So in the last couple of years, have you ever had a situation where you've kind of had to pause and think like, ooh, I don't know if I can like do this? Whether it's like a conversation with someone or working with a client that something felt shady, anything like that?
Nothing that's coming to mind. I think as a Christian and having the values that I do think it is easier for me to be judgmental about how other people are doing their job. Because I look at it and I see the things that they do and I'm like, how dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you?
Oh, yeah.
So there are pros and cons to that.
For sure.
But on the flip side, I am thankful that I don't work that way.
Yeah.
And that I, you know, I think easier said than done if it's a hypothetical and I'm not in that situation. But
yeah,
even just one example I'm thinking of in my head right now, I'm not going to go into details, but I could never see myself doing that. And I'm thankful for that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just like how.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is so hard, though.
It's the so judgment hard. Piece.
Oh, my God. Like, that's not our job, and we know that's not our job. And how quick are we to
make
snap judgments?
Yeah. Yeah. That's unfortunate.
Oh, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. It's hard.
That's really hard.
And it's situations like that where I just want to sit down with them and be like, tell me how you got there.
Yeah.
Tell me how you got to where you're at and like, didn't feel bad for how you got there.
That's like, the part that
I
want,
like, I, yeah. like, I seriously want to just sit down, look you in the eye and like have a conversation and how, like, how did you get here? To understand.
Yeah. Why don't you feel any kind of way about doing this?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You go to sleep at night.
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably smiling too. Yeah. Like, really happy with yourself. Like,
peaceful dream.
Yeah.
Just like, yeah, made it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm. But I can also understand. Yeah.
You can like logically agree. Get there.
Yeah. But I can understand why that they may do the things that they do.
Oh, yeah.
Not having the same values and morals that I hold. So that I feel like is one of my biggest struggles, is that I am very judgy towards how other people work.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's hard.
Yeah.
Can't relate at all.
Yeah, what about you,
Rach? Oh, yeah, it's immediate. And I'm going, but the thing is, because I used to be that way.
Yeah.
Mm. So, like, I can't imagine it now, but I remember what it was like to not be bothered at all by doing really unethical things because I was getting ahead.
Yeah.
And so something else that I do want to, like, I want us to talk about a little bit kind of leads from that, because it's okay. I am a believer now and I am still striving to succeed. And ambition is not a bad thing as long as it is not born from a heart state of pride. But as long as it is a recognition of the Lord has called me to do well in everything that I do, I want to do well here.
Yeah.
And it is not a bad thing to want to be the boss. Like,
yeah,
not a bad thing as long as you're recognizing that is from the Lord. And that was, so like looking at like Rachel of 2016 versus Rachel of 2025 is the way I work is just so different because the way I think is so different. Because it was, I'm going to do anything to get ahead so that I can do what I want to do. Whereas now it's like, I really want to do well so the Lord gets the glory here. Like, mm-hmm. I want people to be able to see him in what I do. And I also want to be able to use the resources he gave me to expand the kingdom and do things that he wants me to do with it.
Yeah.
So it's weird.
Yeah. Have you had any situations? I feel like you have.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I had
one recently.
Wait, finish the question.
Oh.
Yeah, that's
I knew what she was going for.
Yeah.
I wanted to restate my question I asked you to Rachel and she just got there. Sorry. Have you had any situations where you have had to consider, but you were like, well, I can't compromise my faith, mm-hmm, and something shady was happening and you had to like stop and pause.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had a lot of those, actually. One that I will talk about is there was a client that I could not work with. Mm. And I don't know if we want to cut this out or not, but it was, so generally speaking, we do not get deals handed to us. We have to go out and find them. In this instance, it was a, hey, this person has come to us. We want you to take this deal. Mm. And it was Planned Parenthood. And I could not.
Yeah.
I could not. I cannot. I would have made a lot of money doing it. It would have been so easy.
Wow.
But I could not do it. And I ended up letting someone else have it. And they did make a lot of money off of it. And you know what? They were fine with it. But it was very much I cannot imagine making money and helping in any way this organization.
Yeah. Good for you. So, wow.
I got a lot of questions from people because no one ever turns down deals.
Mm. Yeah.
It's just not, it's unheard of. And this was several years ago. This was like four, maybe 5 years ago. And I was newer in my faith. And it was, what do you mean no?
Right.
Was the response that I got. And I said, I cannot work this.
Yeah.
I can't get on the phone with these people.
Yeah.
And help them do what they're doing.
Man. Yeah. So. I'm glad you didn't.
Yeah.
Besides not having the monetary
gain.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad nothing
negative
happened to you. Oh. Like that you didn't get, you know, fired. Like,
oh, I didn't get fired, but that was probably part of the reason that any type of progression or promotion was delayed the way it was. Mm.
Yeah.
I don't know that for sure. I can't speak to that.
Yeah.
There were a lot of things that went into that, but that was probably one of the reasons.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. They were like, she does not make good business choices.
Well, a verse that came to mind with that. Yeah. This is James 1, 2, and 3. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Like, that is an example of, you were given a trial and you could have easily, and everyone around you who's not a believer, who works with you, would have been like, yeah, go rage. Mm-hmm. But you had to choose your faith over your finances. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Hard.
Yeah. It wasn't. I mean, well, it was, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
I mean, did I at night go, well, I could have made?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that's valid. Like, we have to provide for ourselves and be able to take care of ourselves. So, mm-hmm. to say no to something that's a sure thing.
Yeah.
Not knowing, like, trusting absolutely that the Lord is going to provide, but not knowing what the next thing is going to be. Mm-hmm. That, I mean, I think for you, that did produce steadfastness.
Yeah.
Wow.
What about you? Did you answer that question?
I did not answer that question. Yeah. Oh, I mean, yeah. So many things. I was like, let me think. And now there are like 80 things in my brain. Yeah, I believe there is only male and female. I believe that you are born in the exact right way because the God of all creation created you to be exactly as you are. And so it is,
amen,
really hard for me and really heartbreaking to me when I have students come to me and they are distraught because they think that they are in the wrong body. Mm. And, you know, I've never had anyone ask me for advice or guidance. They're just coming and lamenting and I'm restricted in what I can say and do. And that is really difficult. It's really difficult for me. And I mean, I still struggle with it. I struggle with my students who go by a different name that's a different gender. And I really struggle between, okay, I'm just going to make up names. If I have a Sarah and she goes by Brett.
I was thinking Brad, so we were almost right there.
If I don't call Sarah Brett, I lose any possible relational equity that I could build with that student, but I can't call her Brett. And so what I try to do is not use pronouns and just be general when addressing the student.
And that's even hard because I'll have to email a parent. I'll have to email a teacher. And the teacher will email me the chosen name, not the given name. And so that's difficult all the time. And I still go back and forth on that. And I have some students who I met them. Like, I have a guy girl name. So, like, say I met a Jordan.
I was so confused for a second. Oh. I was like, what do you mean?
It could be a male or female name. But, like, I've the name isn't actually Jordan. Let's use Taylor. Like, I met the student as Taylor. And then I found out that Taylor's name is actually Marissa. You know? And so I'm just like, oh, you just okay. So you're choosing to go by a male name. I thought that was just like your middle name. I'm a middle name child. Anyway, so I still struggle with stuff like that because I don't ever want, I don't want to lose the relational equity that I build with my students by calling them what they don't prefer, which in their minds means I don't love them. Mm. Because in their minds, if I love them, then I'm supportive of what they're doing 100%. And that's not love. That's not love. And so I struggle.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, going to be an ongoing thing for the rest of my career, probably, because I love them so much and I want to do everything that I can for them. And, you know, we can't fix problems. We can't fix situations. We can be there and love and nurture. And so my goal is to be able to continue to be there and love and nurture as a school counselor should. And my hands are tied sometimes. Mm-hmm. And like, I'll go to different work events and I'm supposed to put my pronouns and I'm like, no. Mm. Like, you can put yours or not. Like, I respect you. You can do that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to judge you for that. I'm just not going to participate and you can't make me participate. And they don't. They don't try. It's just, it makes me sad because we are more and more encouraging people to wrap their identity in a sexual orientation or a skin color or anything under God's green earth. On God's green earth, whatever, under God's blue sky.
You're going for under the sun.
Under the sun, and then I went somewhere else.
Yep.
Rachel, but, you know what else I just thought? Sorry, Joe, were you not done?
That's okay.
Go ahead.
No, I distracted myself, so I don't remember what I was going to say. I said under God's green sky, and it didn't make sense.
When you just recently reached out to us about your that like training you were doing.
Yeah, that's what I was
question.
Oh, yeah.
So that was another crazy example.
Yeah. So we had to do a training at work and it was very much along the lines of what Jordan was just talking about. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of questions where it was talking about gender identity and how do we, is this workplace harassment? And most of the things that they were talking about were if calling someone by a she when she is biologically female is workplace harassment. And I failed that quiz. I did. I failed the training. I failed the quiz.
Because I'm now, you answered biblically, not worldly.
Correct. Yeah. And I'm sure I'm on a list somewhere now. But there haven't been any repercussions. And like, I really haven't thought about it since because it hasn't been brought back up.
Yeah.
But that's where it's just so, I don't know, that kind of thing just is in the world we live in. I don't run into it the way, Jordan, you run into it. So it doesn't, I'm not thinking about it often, except for in an abstract way. And I struggle because I do have people who are very close to me, who I love dearly, like with everything that I have, who struggle with this. And it is something that I pray for them all the time.
Yeah.
When I'm interacting with them, I want to be loving and I want them to know that I care for them. Mm-hmm. But it is really hard. It is very, very difficult.
Yeah. I struggle with it because I think it's really upsetting and unfortunate that we can't have our own opinions these days without it being like a scare tactic or like a threatening tactic to never speak to someone again. Mm-hmm. I think it's really sad. It's like when I feel like when COVID was at its peak and people were getting fired for not taking the vaccine is like when people also started putting their pronouns in their bio or their signatures at work.
Yeah.
And I remember my cousin, he was being basically, well, you know, forced to, I say with air quotes, because who knows what would have really happened if he didn't. Yeah. And yeah. I was like, I can't believe he did that. And he's like, I don't know. Like, I'm so scared not to. And I'm like, I understand that. But like,
yeah,
I don't know. I, you know, again, it's one of those hypotheticals. Like, if I were in his shoes, like, would I have wanted to lose my job over not putting what I believe is a silly little pronoun in my bio to like keep my job? I like to think that I wouldn't, because I can have an opinion.
Yeah.
And like, why were we ever being forced to not basically not have it, have an opinion? Yeah. It's like,
an opinion as long as your opinion is mine.
Yeah. As long as if it's their narrative. And like, and that, I just find so much wrong with that. Like, when before COVID did anyone used to talk about what vaccines they were getting or who they were voting for? Like, those things were, you just never talked about that. Like, you just didn't discuss it. And it was just one of those like known things. Like, you know, like, you don't just go around, what vaccine did you get today, like, to your neighbor or someone at the grocery store? Like, that was, no one talked about that. And now it's just something, it's so standard. And it's just like, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want you to know.
Because that's not who I am.
Yeah,
that
like, is a choice I've made.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
So I think all of that is just so sad, because it's like we can't have an opinion anymore. Without,
and it's affecting so many familial relationships, friendships. And it's, I mean, we're living in a world that is turned upside down on its head. And I think I'm going to get this wrong. Someone. Dadgummit, who is it? Someone was talking about this general topic and was like, I mean, you could say you're an elephant if you want, and that's fine, but you can't make me believe that.
Yeah.
And like, that's obviously a dramatic example of it. It's just like, I'm not even saying, hey, you should change your mind and you should think this. I would love for you to learn about the love of God and recognize that you are created exactly how you are, but I'm also not going to shove that down your throat.
Yeah.
So please don't shove your stuff down my throat.
Absolutely.
And I'm not attacking you because I don't agree. I just don't agree.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm not going to agree.
That's a because it's a lie.
Yeah.
And it's you can't make me a liar.
Yeah.
Like, I will not lie to indulge your fantasy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's heartbreaking.
It is.
But I was going to say something. I forgot what I was going to say.
Elephants.
It's gone.
Yes. Pink elephants. One thing that I have found, like, verbiage that has been helpful, because this topic actually comes up a lot with me because of my job. People ask me about this. And so the way that I have kind of learned to express where I'm coming from is that, and I've said a bit of it already, but I believe that we are created by a sovereign God who created us exactly how we were meant to be created. Mm. And so it breaks my heart when I see individuals who are crying out saying something's wrong with me. And the world tells them, yeah, you're right. Mm. That is the most unloving thing to me. Like, there's something wrong with me. Yeah, you're right. That is what the world is saying. And the love of our Lord and Savior of our Father says, no, daughter, son, you are exactly who you are supposed to be. And so it is just, it's heartbreaking that we live in a world that is doing that and calling that love.
Well, when you think about the imagery that God has in Scripture of how he creates us, I knit you together in your mother's womb. Like, if you have ever created a blanket for a baby that you love and is going to be born, like, it takes time and attention to detail, and it takes effort and concentration, and the way you do things, it's
intricate.
It's so, and it's intimate. Like, it is a beautiful gift that you can give someone when you knit something together. And so the fact that the Lord chooses that verbiage to describe how he creates us, it's every detail. Every piece of us has been touched by the Father. Yes. It's not just I'm using emotion with my hands. I can't think of how to like say it. He like mushed us together out of mud and we're just this clump. No, each piece of fabric that went into creating us was touched by our Father and was delicately put together with love. Mm. And that's just so... The fact that people think that there's a mistake with them is just, it's so antithetical to what he desires for us.
Yes, it is. It is indeed.
Well, that wasn't where I thought we were going to go with this conversation.
Yeah, but here we are, man.
Yeah.
I like it.
Work.
Work.
We're doing work.
We are.
Even by that those conversations.
Yeah. Another verse that I think is helpful, actually two. Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. I think it is helpful for us to regularly stop during the day and consider who God is and what that means for us individually so that we can focus on the work that he has given us and do it well for him. Mm-hmm. And obviously we have crazy lives and we can get busy, but be careful because if the devil can't make you bad, he can make you busy. And we just need to actually rest, actually participate in Sabbath and not allow work to be the first thing that we think of in the morning and the last thing that we think of when we go to bed.
Yeah.
And Jesus did a work and he's not done. Philippians 1:6 says, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Mm. If you have been saved by grace through faith because of what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross, you are still being sanctified. The example, I don't remember who originally coined it, was that we're between the already and the not yet, where we currently are. We are looking back on the cross and what the Lord did, and we are looking to the day of Jesus Christ, the day that he will come back and we will have the new heaven and the new earth.
Yeah.
And so in this sanctification process, he is still doing a work in you.
Yeah.
He's not done with you yet.
I've heard it as we were saved, we're being saved,
and we will be saved. Yeah.
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 I don't have another way to give it.
It's okay, Mo. Oh, man. Wow.
That's great.
That is great.
I really love when I make Rachel, like, belly laugh. I feel like I make you laugh all the time, but making Rachel belly laugh is like, I'm like, yeah, that was a good one.
Success. I have a coworker like that. When I crack a smile on her, I'm like, oh, this is amazing.
Oh, I think I laugh a lot.
No, you do, but like a
but
good
like a belly laugh.
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah. Okay. No, I'm not saying you don't laugh. You laugh a lot. You laugh mostly at yourself, which like I think we all do. We all think we're way funnier than everyone else does. But
we are funny.
Everyone thinks that we are hilarious.
You know, I hope so.
Oh my gosh!
We are quite the comedians. Comedian.
All right, girls. Mm. Any other things we want to talk about?
I just keep playing work, 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 work in my head, and it's driving me crazy. So I think I'm done.
Okay. I think that's it. Great, and that's we're done. Next time, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. So, yeah, we went a lot of different ways, but
yeah,
I'm glad that we can have a space where we can explore these topics. And it's just, I think it's good to practice, like, showing regular stuff on the podcast.
Yeah, just, like, have conversations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
These are real things.
I know. I enjoyed this. So thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to Gather to Scatter. Next episode, we will continue our Faith and Work series by talking about professional Christians. You can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to follow our Instagram page.
Yeah,
Search Gather to Scatter and subscribe, like, and follow below.
Bye.
Bye, guys.